Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Lo-Fi Jinx podcast for February 10th, 2010. The whole idea behind this thing was that, you know, many of you may know that myself and Josh and Eli do a podcast called the Hijinks Ensue podcast, and we're not able to do it as often as we like. They're busy guys, and we all live in different parts of the city, and it's really difficult for us to all get together on a weekly basis. So my idea that's kind of been nagging at me for a while is, why not do a quick 10-15 minute podcast myself, where I go over maybe whatever was on TV this week, or any movies I might have seen, or whatever the subjects of the recent Hijinks Ensue comics were. So this week, and this being the first episode, and that little expository explanation being out of the way, I wanted to talk about the Return of Lost and the Heroes finale, which could quite possibly be the last Heroes ever, not just of the season. I guess first and foremost, Heroes just ended. I watched it last night and ended on just a whimper of a lame-ass episode. The whole last, obviously, if you've been following the last three seasons, my condolences. But if you followed last season, you know, you're made of stronger stuff than most people when it comes to just having shit shoveled in your face. I'm not going to fault any of the actors. I'm definitely going to fault the creators and the writers. It's just been the sloppiest, slowest, and laziest superhero writing I think I've ever experienced. I can't count the times when every single person on screen is completely betraying any character development that's been established for them in the past several seasons. People's motivation is either non-existent, unclear, or the opposite of what would actually cause them to do any of the things that they're doing. People with superpowers tend to not use them in times when they would be helpful, or use them in ways that are extremely pointless, and get caught up in a lot of petty personal bullshit that, if it was good drama, might make sense, but it's not. So this season, if you didn't follow along, attempted to center around a character named Samuel, who ran a superhero carnival, Carney Heroes, and wanted to gather all of the heroes together in the guise of giving them a shared home where they could feel normal. But his real goal was to get as many heroes together as possible, or as many specials together as possible, to amplify his own powers. Because in the Heroes universe, you don't have to have any one particular superpower, and it doesn't have to follow any rules ever. They just change them whenever they get bored or write themselves into a corner. For instance, Tracy Strauss, who was one of three clones, the original character that she played was blonde lady who is strong and has superpowers. I don't even remember her name anymore. But Tracy, her original power was to freeze people with her touch, or freeze things. She could freeze someone to death and they would shatter. She could freeze water. She could freeze moisture in the air and freeze everything around her. You know, she once froze an entire parking garage. So there is a power. It's not quite Iceman, but it's the power to freeze water with touch, or possibly even thought, where I'm not really sure. Later on in the series, that power becomes less useful, I guess, from a writing standpoint. So they change her from Iceman into Hydro Man. She no longer is even concerned with the ability to freeze things. She can now turn into water, manipulate water, do, I guess, anything with water. I don't know. The two powers should be unrelated. Now, I know we're talking fiction, but the idea is that, you know, you establish rules and then you have to stick to them, because that makes it hard to make things overly simple. It forces you to write good stories and have conflict and have people make tough decisions and et cetera, et cetera. Whereas in this universe, as soon as somebody can't get out of a situation or there's obviously nowhere left for the story to go, they either kill someone off and bring them back as someone else or just alter their powers. For instance, Mohinder, his original power when he was given powers by the government, I guess, by the military, his original power was basically Spider-Man, but a little bit more severe. He was like Bug-Man, and he was kind of turning into a bug. And then they decided that was gross, and he'd have to look like a bug forever. So he gets a magical cure injected into him that removes all of his bug appearances and just makes him super strong. And super, I assume he's still super agile. But, they're like, this sucks. Bug guy sucks. Let's change him. And if you want to see a real Indian Spider-Man, you should go on the internet, because there's a much better one out there. It's on YouTube. So, and then who else they do this to? Siler, they've done it since his inception. Siler, his only ability is to understand how things work. And out of nowhere, they decided that that meant he could understand how your superpower worked, which also meant he could take it. It doesn't make any sense. It's never been explained. It's never going to be. It doesn't make any sense. Just because I understand how you can fly doesn't mean that I can also fly. If that's the case, that means that anyone that understood it could fly. And so all superpowers are secretly locked within all of us, and we just have to understand them. That's bullshit. That's lazy. You have to kind of give him credit, even though Peter Petrelli originally had Rogue's power, which was to take the powers of others by touch, but it was less invasive. It didn't knock them out or steal their memories or hurt them in any way. But he could store them all and recall them at will. And they realized that kind of made him Superman, and he was a little bit too powerful. So they depowered him, and he could only keep one at a time. It was actually kind of interesting seeing him make the decisions of, when do I take this power? When do I get rid of the one that I've got? Because, every once in a while he's got Claire's power, so he's invulnerable. And that's one you would be tempted to keep forever. But then sometimes he needs to get somewhere far away, so he grabs a flight power and flies away, etc. So there's actually potential for interesting character work there. They just really never followed through with it, other than those brief glimpses into him deciding how powerful to be at any given time. But he never seems fazed by it. He never seems like it's really that hard of a decision. I don't know. It was just lame. And so they bring in this guy, Samuel, who wants to bring all the heroes together. His power is ridiculous. He's a Terramancer. He's a guy that can control the Earth. Now, that's been done, remember in the Teen Titans cartoons, they had that little girl, Terra, that could, control the Earth, levitate it, move it, create seismic events. That's an established superhero power. I have no problem with it. They also took that to mean that if he made tattoo ink out of dirt and then injected it into a lady that could see your destiny, that it would then turn into magical tattoos on her back that showed the destiny of others. That's ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. They also changed it to eventually give him an overall villain arc, that if he was near enough superpowered people, his power grew exponentially. So just put him in the company of 100 or so specials, and then he could destroy the Earth. And then, I guess, inversely, put him around only normal people, and he has no powers at all. And that's just stupid. It doesn't make any sense. They've never backed it up. They act like we don't read comic books or something. We don't understand how superpowers work. I know that sounds dumb, but it's just, they're dumb. I don't know. It seems dumb to bitch about something fictional, but that's lame. It doesn't make any sense. Heroes' powers have, H-I-R-O's powers, have changed a dozen times. And in this season, they finally decided, the power to control space-time, I guess a couple of seasons ago, was too great, and so they took that away from him. all he could do was, I think, freeze things maybe, but he could no longer teleport and no longer time travel, something like that. Then eventually got his power back for essentially no reason, and it started killing him. And that's something that's been visited in all kinds of superhero fiction. Spawn, for instance, you know, there's a consequence to using this great power. So you can do pretty much anything you want to, but at a price. And Hero's price was it's killing you. Time traveling has given you a brain tumor. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to find this great love of your life that you've been pining for, and you're just going to die. And so he decides, well, I'm going to die, then I'm going to do a bunch of pointless bullshit in the meantime. I'm going to try and fix some things that I've done wrong that really have no consequences and are just stupid. And for instance, he goes back in time and hooks up his sister and his best friend, and the only consequence of him giving them a relationship 10 years ago is that they're in a relationship now. Nothing else changes about his entire life. All of his heroics, all of his adventures, everything has been identical. The only thing that changes is that his sister and his friend Ando are now a couple. But then they go on and on and on about how the butterfly effect comes into play, that everything he changes in the past has grave consequences. But in this case, nothing happened. He perfectly changed one event, which perfectly worked out, blah, blah, blah. So he's getting this brain tumor. And the way they resolve this problem for him is they have him go into a coma. And they have his mother, who is not real. He's in a coma. It's a dream. He has a dream about whether or not he's a hero or a villain and whether or not his time traveling meddling has been selfish or not. His mother comes to him in a vision and heals him. Her power when she was alive was to heal things. But his mother comes to him in a vision and heals him, and he wakes up cured. But his mother's power was not to be a ghost and fly into your brain and heal you. It was, she's a dead person now, so she can't do anything. So apparently if you dream hard enough, fairies will heal your brain. And so he's fine now too. So there's no consequences for anything. And the reason that we're saying this is probably the last episode ever, hopefully, is that the ratings this season have just consistently gone down and down and down and down and down, and there's been no real buzz about renewing it. Crazier shit's happened. They could very well bring it back. NBC is the lowest rated network, so is the lowest rated show on the lowest rated network really... Are they still have to have shows, so maybe they're going to bring it back. Who knows? But they've established that there was, in season one, they showed that there was so much they could do with this premise, and then they just stopped doing anything interesting with it. So I hope it's dead. I hope it's gone. I really want nothing to do with it. I did ask earlier tonight that anyone with questions that I might be able to answer about that particular series would Twitter them to me. So let me look those up right now and see if anybody has done such a thing. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is sort of how Lost came back and the kind of weird experience that I had watching it last night with my wife and a friend. Okay, here's our questions. Boop, boop, boop. Do you think since ABC, and this is from Twitter, teacher_geek, do you think since ABC and NBC have had major success with sci-fi, Joss Whedon might be able to leave Fox? I think at this point, Joss would probably never work with Fox again, because even regardless of NBC, and I hate to say that NBC's had success with sci-fi, because I really don't call Heroes a success. But, you know, the whole time Joss was making Dollhouse, he was sort of towing that company line that it's new people, it's different situation, everything's great, we're all happy, they're being so wonderful. And then when they got canceled, he's like, ah, that was bullshit the whole time. They've been fucking with me since day one. They fucked up the show. They fucked up the story. They aired shit out of order. Same game we've always been playing. If he worked with them again, I'd be shocked. I mean, I was shocked this time, but I understood that he thought it would be different. I would shit myself if he went to them with another show. I really do think if anyone can, I know there's not a lot of money in it, But if anyone can steer us toward network independent content, it's him. That he can actually produce things and release them on his own and almost, you know, sort of pioneer this idea of an independent TV network. I think the coolest way he could do that would be to make things like Dr. Horrible on his own dime and then shop them around, show them on the internet, but shop them around much more like you would a film at Sundance, to kind of shop around this show and then see if it needs to get aired on real TV. I really think Joss should pursue cable. I don't understand why he keeps going with networks that are not niche enough for his weird geeky shows. He needs to go to TNT or somebody or USA or one of these networks where they probably won't have the same budget, but they probably also won't cancel him after four episodes. Covered Wagon Kid on Twitter says, "Is Hero still as bad as I remember? Did Hero save Charlie?" Your first question, yes, it's horrible. And it ended horrible. And it just got worse and worse and worse and made less and less sense and more betrayed any character development that there ever had been. Hero, spoiler, if you give a fuck, which you don't, because you shouldn't. Hero did not save Charlie. Charlie was his girlfriend, part-time girlfriend, I don't know, one-time girlfriend, who this dickface Samuel, the carny, who had an off-and-on flirtation with an Irish accent. He was like, "Hero, I'm going to attack Charlie, and I'm going to hide her in time, and you're never going to find her." And then when you go look for her, you can clearly see that my accent's gone. And then if you do what I want, then I'll go get her for you. And now my accent's back, and I'll save your beloved Charlie and all my carnies. So he hid Charlie in time. And then he never finds her. Hero never finds her. And then one day he runs into an old lady at the hospital. And, oh, it's Charlie. And she's like, "Oh, Hero, I missed you. But don't go back and save me, because I had a wonderful life and children and a husband and two world wars. And my life was beautiful." He's like, "Oh, Charlie, I have to go back so we can be in love." And she's like, "No, Hero. Now I've got an Irish accent. I don't know why." And it was stupid. It wasn't even sweet. It was just lame. And so there's that. And let's see if there's any other questions here. All right, let's move on to Lost. I think all these, the last two questions are about Lost. This is from Hobbsy on Twitter. "I just started watching Lost. End of season two is where he, she is at now. Hoping it'll start to make sense." Well, if you're finishing season two, you're probably at the end of the point where I think Lost went from so compelling that I wanted to rip my face off just to understand it better. I was involved in all the alternate reality shit on the internet and looking up clues and watching secret viral videos to learn more about shit that didn't even matter. And then right after, at the end of season two, you're like, okay, at some point they're going to start answering shit and stop asking more questions. But between season two and where we are now at the beginning of season six, all they do is propose more and more and more mysteries, leave them open-ended. And then for every, say, 12 they present, they answer maybe one, but they never answer one that's current enough in your mind for you to care. They only answer one from like the first three episodes. So you're at the end of season three and a character learns something that you've known as a viewer since the beginning of the series, or it's been so fucking obvious that you've figured it out. And so all of the revelations where they're like, "All right, we're going to throw you a bone. We're going to let you know that Claire is Jack's sister." Right, great, we've known that. They just revealed that to Jack yesterday. Okay, well, we've known that since like season one. So big fucking deal. There's no suspense there, because as an audience, you're already informed, whereas the character is not. Now, this comes off like I'm talking about Heroes. I'm not. I do still like this show. I'm very glad that it's ending, because it needs to end, and it probably should have ended around season three or four, to force them to tie up all these loose ends. It's a very different show now than it was. Honestly, it has little to nothing to do with the characters and the mysteries that were being presented in season one. I remember just being so enthralled by a show that posed so many seemingly really well thought out mysteries. And it turns out they later revealed through interviews and whatnot, and the creators and the writers, they didn't have a plan. They had all these cool ideas, but they really didn't know how they were going to tie them all together. And then they just never did. It was impossible. They gave themselves too great a task. And so by being a little bit more conservative with the head fucks, they could have made a show that kept me engrossed much longer. I still like it. Unlike Heroes, that falters in similar ways, they do try to stay true to the characters. They never really have a character completely betray who they are for the sake of an easy plot line. They do, however, create such a convoluted mess of who did this, when, and in what timeline, and in what reality did it happen. Do these people really know each other now, or do they only know each other in the past, or in the future possibly? And did these events even happen now that there's been a bunch of time travel? Did this repercussion even matter? You know, you've been telling me since season one that the baby, Aaron, is super important to the whole mythology of the island, but so far he's, you know, pooped his pants and cried, and you're going to wait till season six to follow up on that. And it's just been a strain to try and keep up with any of that. You know, it just kills me that you leave space in your head for these things that seem important, and it turns out they're not important at all, and the creators never had any intention of following through with them. So you get this sort of jaded feeling, like, I'm not even going to remember this because it's not going to matter. So last night, I'm watching it, this second episode of the season, or third hour, what Kate does with my wife and a good friend of ours, and we found ourselves pausing the episode maybe every 5 minutes, and then going to Wikipedia, Lostpedia, the internet in general, and going, wait, hang on. All right, so Saeed is shot, but who shot him? And why? Why did he get... Because that was a long time ago. Why did he get... It's like a year ago in our time. And why did he get shot? And... Okay, so hang on. So who's that guy? Like, no. How does he relate? Okay, so in the first timeline, he was this guy. But now he's not anymore, because that timeline never happened. You know, Ethan shows up on mainland Earth Prime, I guess. Or maybe Earth 2. And we're like, wait, no, where did Ethan start? So we're going back and reading these articles, and I'm like, oh, God damn it, it's just too hard. And I'm not stupid. It's just there's been too much information. The show to payoff has been extremely grossly out of proportion. So you find yourself obsessing over minute details, thinking, oh, these fuckers, I know them. I know Lost. This guy is going to turn up later. His name is an anagram. And we all know that anagrams are important on this show. And there's numbers. The numbers are important. The numbers don't even exist anymore. In the reality that they're in now, there never were any numbers. Like, how did Hurley even win the lottery? He's never heard the numbers. The numbers were told to him by an inmate in a psychiatric institution heard them when he was stationed on an oil rig, because they were being broadcast from the island by Rousseau's tape recorder. None of that's ever even happened now. So, and the fact that I even know all that shit is just stupid. So anyway, it sounds like I'm just bitching, though. I do still enjoy the show. I want to see where it goes. I'm not happy with the ups and downs and where all the different loose ends and even dead ends that it's gone to in the past five seasons. I really do hope for a successful payoff. And if Battlestar has taught me anything, it's just don't get your hopes too high. They're definitely not going to answer the questions I want them to answer. I just need to understand that real human beings made this show, and they are flawed, and they had some cool ideas they didn't know how to finish, and that's okay, and I'll be fine when it's over. But I am still really glad that it's ending. I kind of want closure, and I think that they sort of did everything they could possibly do with those characters a long time ago, honestly. I think one of the reasons they have to keep changing the timeline is, you know, every time they finished off a character and there was nowhere else to go, they just kill him. Like Boone and Shannon and any shallow or two-dimensional character, they just got rid of him early on. Michael, they even brought to a decent conclusion, you know. Walt, we have no idea why he was important, but they just got rid of him. And the rest of them, I think they've exhausted their options a long time ago. One thing we were talking about last night that's kind of interesting is that Kate is a terrible person. Her original crime that she was on the run for was kind of a crime of passion, and depending on how you feel, may have even been justified that she blew up her father's house because he was a bastard to her mother and got her mother the insurance money and wanted to and then went on the run. But everything she's done since then has been completely self-serving. She's caused people great pain and possibly even death. I can't remember, honestly. I'm sure she's killed at least somebody. And for nothing but to save her own ass. She has no greater purpose. They've even further illustrated that in this new season already. When she gets a chance to sort of reset and relive some of those events, she makes even worse choices. She's horrible. She has no redeeming qualities. She has less redeeming qualities than Sawyer, who is a con man by profession. So, whatever. That said, I'm still tuning in. Glad Heroes is over and still going to be watching Lost. Hopefully, with these Lo-Fi Jinx podcasts, I'll be able to sort of touch base with you guys frequently and in the time between real HE podcast, just kind of give you some impressions on either, what I'm working on or what I thought about, you know, whatever's on TV at the time or what's going on the internet. So hopefully this will be fairly frequent a few times a week. At least for now, they're going to be posted to where you probably just got this one from, which is hijinxandsue.tumblr.com. There's going to be a proper RSS feed, and hopefully after this first episode goes up, a proper iTunes feed, though you will be able to subscribe manually in iTunes by putting the feed burner feed into your iTunes manually. I do want to mention that the theme song you heard at the beginning there was done by Jeff Fardink, a longtime Fancy Bastard, who you may remember from various incarnations of theme songs for the real, the Big HE podcast. That was actually one that he did for us right towards the end of us using the theme songs that he was making at the time that he actually never finished. But I went back and listened to it, and I actually just kind of liked it how it was. I don't know, at the time, I thought it was a little bit too whimsical for the real HE podcast, but I think it fits this one nicely because it's just supposed to be loose and kind of impromptu. So I don't know. So anyway, check out, it may be jefffardink.com or just Google Jeff, F-A-R-D-I-N-K, to hear more of his music. And also much appreciation for making that for us way back when, and also the theme songs for Josh and Denise and Eli, which if you don't remember, I'll probably play on this Lo-Fi Jinx podcast at some point. I also wanted to mention that in case you forgot why the podcast is called Lo-Fi Jinx, a while back when I was doing comics in preparation for going to a convention, my first convention, I felt like I didn't have time to, hang on. No, I'm back. I had set a hard limit on how long this could record. So anyway, I thought I wouldn't have time to do real comics, so I did a sort of a lo-fi comic and called it Lo-Fi Jinx Ensue, or just Lo-Fi Jinx, I can't remember. And it was, you know, sort of a black and white version of the main comic with cruder art, and it ended up taking longer than the real comics because I wasn't used to making comics that way. So it actually kind of, even being more simplified, made it robbed me of anything in my routine that I had learned how to do quickly, just by introducing new and unknown elements. So, but whatever. I like the name. So that's sort of what this is for. Sort of a cruder, faster, sloppier version of the main podcast that I'll be doing by myself and maybe with some guests. Who knows? If you like it, comment on Tumblr or send me an email. If you really like it and you really like the comic and you really like the big podcast and all the other stuff, please consider making a small donation at hijinksandsue.com/donations. Or even subscribing to your donation through the vault, vault.hijinksandsue.com, and helping me to continue to do things like this for everybody for free. Also, check out in the store right now, because today is February 10th, 2010. I probably should have put that at the beginning. I've lost my train of thought. That there is a new shirt for a limited time, my Riker I Hardly Know Her shirt, will only be available until February 20th, and then it's going away. And there's about five other designs, including the A-Team shirt, the Lol Fox shirt, the Wizard Pride shirt, the some other ones that are being retired. And they're also on sale for $18. And if you're listening to this, you can use the code TWEET15, TWEET15, when you check out at store.hijinksandsue.com. And get 15% off. I actually wish I had made that like 10% off, because it turns out it was like working really way too well. I was losing money, but whatever. It's out there, and so use it. Don't feel bad. I don't care. I'd rather you have shirts than like them. That's probably it. Maybe I'll go back to the beginning and add the date. If you listen to this and there's a date at the beginning, I went back and added it. That'd be weird. I won't do it. I shouldn't. I'd feel wrong. Should I put the theme song again at the end, or just let this go? It seems like I need a stopping point of stuff. Okay, I'm gonna stop.